Welcome to the Imagine Mom Cast. This is your host, Elaine Kohanowitz. You're in the right place, Mom, if you're looking for real answers, real Jesus, and real fun. Hi, this is Elaine. I am so glad to have you guys here today on the Imagine Mom Cast. It's the Girls Get Real with Laura and Leisha. And today we are going to talk about organizing, decluttering, decorating, and remodeling, which I have two people here who are the queen of decorating and remodeling. So you're going to get a lot of good stuff from this. It's going to be so much fun. And I have to say, I think we're all pretty high on the decluttering side. Would you guys say that?
Yes, for sure.
Like, Leisha, like when you are getting rid of stuff, does it just make you feel happy? Oh, maybe. Leisha might be kind of in and out. There she goes.
Sorry. No, I just muted myself. No, I love to toss crap away. I love to declutter.
Amen, sister. I tell you what, I went by, now when I go by, yard sales. I used to be like the queen of yard sailing when the kids were little. It was so awesome. We would, you know, you could get toys and you could get bedding and you could get, you know, like stuff for your kitchen. And now I'm just like on the other side of that because I've accumulated so much crap over 20 years that when I pass a yard sale now, I'm just like, I'm not even looking. I need to get rid of stuff, not get more stuff. So do you guys remodel anymore?
Do we yard sale?
Yeah. Did you ever yard sale?
Not really. I mean, maybe a little bit. It's always fun to go to a sale and find a treasure or something. For me, it's a nostalgia thing. If I go to a yard sale and find something that, you know, some rare piece of Tupperware my mom had in 1975, and here it is available for me. That's the kind of dumb thing that I would buy at a yard sale. I never really outfitted my home with yard sale things, nor did I get super excited because I don't know. Stuff doesn't motivate me. I know that sounds weird and rare, especially for, you know, a stay-at-home mom for so many years, but yard sales weren't really my thing, really. So not so much.
How about you, Leisha?
I had a real problem with yard sales. Thanks for bringing it up.
Were you a yard sale addict?
No, I actually had a bigger problem with like estate sales because I love buying the old nostalgic stuff where I feel like I could have, like I collected people's good stuff pretty good. Like, I don't know, like Laura was saying, like the Tupperware or the, like the collectible stuff, I could take that stuff on. And then my kids loved yard sales. I would let them buy a whole bunch of stuff from the yard sale and not feel bad about it. But
I know
I will not go near one now because I won't even have a yard sale myself. I'm like, all of this belongs in the trash.
Amen. We never had a yard sale because by the time we got done with it, well, first of all, it was probably used to begin with. And so by the time we ran it through six kids, it was just like, nobody wants this. This is just sad now. Yeah. So I actually just loaded up my giant 12 passenger van with a bunch of stuff that I got rid of at the thrift store. I love taking stuff to the thrift store though. I will throw things away, but I do try to take as much as I can to the thrift store.
Amen to that. I love getting rid of stuff. That's almost, I think that I have an issue with getting rid of stuff. Like it's an addiction more than accumulating is. I get this awesome satisfaction in getting stuff out of my house. It's to the point where if I have a couple things to donate, just a couple, two or three, I'll set them aside and then I will look around the house and see if I can fill a bag with things. I'll go hunting for stuff to get rid of. And it doesn't have to be a cleaning out of a closet or a weekend long project. It's, oh, these pants don't fit anymore. I'm going to throw these out and let's see what else I can get rid of while I'm at it, make a full bag. So it's almost like a challenge to see how much I can get rid of.
That's awesome. Laisha, have you guys gotten rid of a bunch of stuff since you've moved, been moving several times lately?
Yeah, we every time we move, we're like, we did this wrong again. Because I think that when you move into a new place, you bring a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't fit anymore. So you're like, why did we pack this up? Why did we spend so much money to pack this up and move it? So we did end up getting rid of a lot of things. And then the house we moved in to was still packed with the people's stuff too. So I accumulated a lot of their stuff.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, we had dumpsters. I made more trips to that Goodwill than, like, I don't know. I could probably, I think they probably knew my name and in my car already. So.
So.
Hold on. I'm going to mute myself because I'm getting out of my car, speaking of.
Okay. That's perfect timing because I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about Laura, because I call her my, she's like my prairie. What did I always say? I'm trying to remember. My old brain is blinking out. But I always call her like the prairie woman because she can do anything. She can sew clothes and can food, and she's an electrician. She was a Navy electrician for nuclear like plants on the ship. And she can totally remodel an entire house, has done it several times. So she is like the queen of remodeling. So Laura, tell us the most recent remodeling project that you did.
Well, you definitely give me too much credit, but thank you, Elaine. So do you want like somebody else's remodeling job? Do you want me to tell you about like a wiring job or in my own home, a remodeling job?
Give us your own home recent remodel expedition.
Okay, cool. So we decided this summer, we just kind of on a whim, we're going to host a foreign exchange student. So we had to turn my husband's office into a bedroom, sort of, in a roundabout sort of way. My husband's office, I had painted and done up all in a Denver Broncos theme because he really loves the Denver Broncos. So that was done up real fun and, you know, painted orange and blue, but tastefully done. It wasn't awful. So what we had is an unfinished space in the attic. It's kind of hard to explain, but on the second story, through a door, we had this big, huge unfinished space.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just dead space. I think the reason the builder did not finish it in our home is because the ceiling was kind of strange. Mm-hmm. There were some very weird angles and weird. It just didn't. It wasn't feng shui'd or whatever.
Didn't have the right zen.
It didn't have the right zen. So they just left it. They just left it unfinished. So I thought, this is a giant amount of space. I'm going to start throwing stuff in here. Well, in order to move my husband's office and make room for a new person in our life, we needed to put some stuff in a storeroom, and I wanted it to be tidy and organized. And so what had been just kind of unfinished studs with, at one point in time, I had insulated it with just like rolls of insulation.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a subfloor on there. Well, we decided we would just finish the whole space.
Oh, really? And, I didn't know.
Yeah, we finished it. So I wired it up and I framed in a cedar closet so that we could have all my husband's hunting stuff, which had been in his office. He now has a cedar closet for all of his hunting stuff. And that was
wow.
Because I bought cedar panels from the hardware store, like aromatic cedar. And so now he has fun cedar closet. And I'm not going to lie, in my remodeling, well, in my electrical world, I know a really awesome pair of sheet rockers. So I hired that out. They do a very artful job, and they're cheap and honest and great. So we hired the drywall sheet rock mud and tape thing out
that time, but I did the wiring and the framing, the wiring, the insulating and the flooring and the closet. They didn't do the closet. So yeah, that was,
wow.
And it was fun. I put in shelves. And so all of our things are, well, I got rid of a ton of stuff, which was crazy because I don't really have a ton of stuff, but it gave me a way to go through all the kids' toys that I thought I might want to save for grandchildren. Cause I think that all of us moms get sentimental and we think about our kids and some of the really fun toys that we love. Oh, someday I'll play with grandkids. Yeah. Well, I just axed that. I realized I had like 8 tubs and that was, that was not a collection. That was a condition. And I needed to get rid of some of that. So I got down to like 4 tubs of toys. But it was a big ordeal, but it felt great. And now everything is tubbed and labeled and stacked and shelved. And man, I feel pretty good.
Hey, you deserve like a pat on the back. That's amazing.
Why, thank you.
Miss Laisha is not far behind. You have done a lot of remodeling. I don't know what you've remodeled in the last couple houses. I know the one that when you lived near us, you guys did that. You remodeled that whole house.
Yeah, that was more redecorating than I think remodeling. We did have our kitchen redone, but that was all hired out, so that doesn't count, right?
I don't know. Works for me. I guess it doesn't matter whether you hire it out or have somebody else do it. If you're awesome like Laura, you can do it yourself.
I know.
The rest of us peons have to hire it out.
Yeah, this peon hires it out. I do like to decorate homes and stuff because every home we've lived in obviously was like owned by someone else and they're usually older folks. So I like going in and kind of revamping older homes and, you know, giving them some kind of modern or like newer look to them. But this home is tricky, the one that I'm in now, just because it's already like whitewashed, so to speak, like all the walls are white. So I haven't really felt like I don't have too much inspiration right now to do much of that. But
feeling a little institutional these days.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling institutionalized here. I do the smart way to go about any project though is doing them one room at a time and then finish to completion. So, and I'm sure Laura could like agree to that because when you start a project and you start another project and start another project and then you got 4 rooms a mess because they're all like in the middle of stages of the whatever rehab,
it's stages just, of grief,
yes, basically. And chaos. I mean, it just makes for a really unhappy like living situation. I know when like we were redoing our baths in our last house, we were also just starting to like redo the kitchen. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if we lose one bathroom and we lose our kitchen, like those are 2 gigantic messes. So I made sure we did one room to completion and then started the next one rather than like having like 2 rooms or 2 parts of our life being in upheaval. That was the one smart thing I did. But
so that was a lesson learned from the past experience.
Oh, for sure. Because you don't realize how much, like we only had 2 full baths in our last house. So like you don't realize how much that affects your life when you only have 1 full shower, like for 6 individuals to utilize. So that's a significant loss to the family. So anyways, as far as like decorating, my biggest thing is the room has to be completely emptied and gutted before I start anything.
Really?
So I declutter and I get rid of everything and I almost start with a blank slate again, because otherwise you're mixing and matching like 2 different ideas or styles. So I try to get rid of everything, start with the blank slate, and then kind of build from there. So
that's actually a really cool idea.
That is good.
I would have thought of that.
Well, when you're building on top of someone else's like already like ideas or you're building on someone else's foundation, it's, you don't realize how much that affects your like creativity or how you go about doing things. So I try to like make it as me as possible. So that means I have to get rid of as much as I can from like a room. So I try to start with like a completely clean slate, you know, either white walls and nothing in the room. So that way I don't have to piecemeal things together, because I found out when I do that, it like overstimulates me or the room doesn't look right. So
it's like hard to visualize what it should be at that point.
Yeah. Like there's too many ideas or too many, like maybe different. I'm big into architecture and different textures in a room. So I try to just make sure like everything flows and fits together, rather than, oh, I just threw this in there and that in there and this in there, and now I've got a hodgepodge of crap. I try not to make my rooms look like a yard sale.
So like if you had a room that was colored, have you actually gone in and painted it, like primed it white or something like that before you decided?
Yeah. Yeah. Most of my rooms I've learned have to be like white or one solid color in order for me to, I usually start with my wall colors. So the wall colors are the easiest thing for me to pick. So if I can pick a wall color, it usually will unfold from there. But I've learned over the years to keep all of my wall colors neutral and then only have the accents be the colors, because those are easiest to change. So I paint a room, it's not going to be some vibrant color, because that's really difficult to change quickly. So I do a neutral wall color and then I build it, like I build my idea around that. If that makes sense.
So do you get like inspiration ahead of time, like Pinterest or pictures or magazines or whatever, and then you kind of have an idea of it? Or do you just like say, okay, I'm going to go with this wall color, and then once you kind of have that, you know, on the wall and everything, then you're like, okay, now we'll, you know, now I can start to, my mind is clear and I can start to like think about what I want.
I actually usually start with the intention of the room. So like, for example, I'm sitting in our sunroom or our quiet time room. And so I'll sit in there for a while. And I've learned this, I need to sit in a room for a couple of weeks in order to figure out what it is that I want out of there. I look at all the light that comes in like during the day and the night. And so so instead of rushing through a room, because we've moved so often, I've learned that if I rush to decorate a room or finish a room, I don't like it in a couple of weeks and then I start all over again. So I've just learned to be patient through that. So I will go for the feeling that I want out of the room. So this room, we like it to be really quiet and like intentional and like a serene sunroom place. So we don't have TV. We don't have noise in this room. So I wanted a really quiet and like relaxing color. So I chose a color that would be relaxing to come in here. So there's a lot of earth tones. And then I also wanted it to be clutter free. I say that while I'm looking at my messy sewing table, but that's not the point. I got to finish my curtains. And I also want it to be clutter free, because it's supposed to be our quiet time room. So I don't want a whole lot of distractions in here. So I go for the feeling of the room and the intention of the room, and then I design it from there. So it just so happened that my furniture fit from my last quiet time room here. So I was able to at least duplicate that. But yeah, I go for the feelings. My room is always white because I like clean things. So like I like to make my bed in the morning and like
your bedroom, when you say your room, like your
bedroom? Yes, I'm sorry, my bedroom. So my bedroom is always white. If you go into all four of my last houses, all my bedrooms are white. Even it's usually the same shade of white. You too, Laura? Yeah, walls are white, my bedding is white, my flooring is usually white. Yeah, everything's white.
Oh my goodness. Like the beginning of a Tide commercial.
Well, I love to bleach my sheets. Love just to like, everything needs to be super clean in my room. So yeah, I actually learned to do that, because when I started bleaching like my gray sheets or whatever, they would come out like all spotty and terrible looking. So I'm like, well, we're going white, everyone.
When you say the flooring's white, do you mean like white carpet? Or white wood.
White carpet, or like in my last couple houses, we did like wood flooring or like a laminate in our bedroom. So even my area rug was white.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't seem institutionalized though. Like it doesn't seem like a sterile, like it is warm because I don't just choose a stark white, but I try just to make it look like it's like a hotel. Have you ever went into a hotel and you're like, oh my gosh, don't lay on the bed. It looks so nice. That's what I want my room to look like or have that feeling. So that's what I usually go after.
Nice.
So do you put like paintings on the walls and there's other things in it? It's not like just like
totally. Oh, in my bedroom? No, there is nothing on the wall. No.
Nope, oh, really?
Crazy. Nope, nothing.
Okay.
That's nope. Bad. But you know what? I bet it's awesome because I've been in Alicia's houses and they're always beautiful. So I'm sure it looks really good.
Thanks, Elaine. Yeah, I don't, well, like everyone's different, right? Like some people, that would drive them crazy. So I think it's really important to decorate your house how you want it, how you want to wake up and walk in it every day. So.
Well, how do you do it, Laura? Because you've redone a lot of, I mean, a lot of your own rooms, a lot of. Just you know, remodeled some houses to look really cute. Like, what's kind of your mode to get going?
I steal ideas from other people, truthfully, but not 100%. There are trends that I certainly don't like. Like, I know it's the farmhouse barn thing. That doesn't speak to me at all. I know I can go to other people's homes and think it looks really cute. I'm happy to be here. I don't want to live like that. I am not a great decorator and won't claim to be. I blame it on the Navy because from ages 18 to 24, I couldn't have stuff. You know, you're on the sea, you can't have things. There's nothing on the wall. You don't have knickknacks laying out. You're on a boat, man. That thing's tossing and turning and you have to keep it super, that is a sterile environment. So I think that there's something about those years, those formative years that kind of shape a person when they're on their own. And I got, I had zero opportunity for creativity. So that being said, I don't love gray because that's what I lived for 6 years, a gray ship.
Got enough gray for one lifetime.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do a little bit of gray, but like gray's gotta be broken up. I agree with Laisha and the neutral tones, the all white. I don't know that I love the way that looks, but I don't like to clean. So it would get dirty. And then that would bother me. Like, cause I'm not a cleaner. I'm kind of gross. So
that is a lie. She's
maybe brown.
Every time I go into your house, it's clean. It might be boy clean, but it's clean.
Boy clean. It might be. If it's probably just decluttered because like clean.
Oh, that's true.
There's a difference between decluttered and clean. My house is never clean. It's usually picked up, but not clean. But I would say for like decorations, because I'm such a people person, my walls usually just have family photos and then that's it. But no knickknacks, no throw pillows. I mean, I like everything really picked up, just like bare minimum. I've got a couch and another couch. And a couple of end tables with nothing on them, you know, and walls with a picture or two. And then that's it. Because like, if you were, what are the restaurants that have all the memorabilia, like, you know, 54th Street Bar and Grill, or, you know, those, you go into those restaurants where there's just, it's wall to wall stuff.
Yeah.
I get stressed out just being there like that. I know that's
drives fun me crazy,
for some people, but that's unfun for me. So I definitely like that sparsely decorated, just a thing here, a thing there. And it doesn't really have to, I'm not good at it. I'm not good at decorating, but this is my space that I have to live in. So it has to be tidy for my mind to stay tidy. If that makes sense.
Well, you know, one thing though, that I've noticed is even though, you know, you do like things to be kind of, well, definitely uncluttered, but like you do put in some items in the house that give it like how do I describe this, like a style, I guess is what I'm trying to say, because like you built this really cool computer desk in the bathroom. Like tell us about that, because when you walk in your dining, it's not like, even though maybe you don't have a ton of stuff, it's not like it just feels like I'm walking into this just nothing house, you know what I mean? Like you picked specific colors for the wall and you've made some built-ins, and you know, your kitchen's actually really cute. I know that was kind of inherited.
That was definitely inherited.
Yeah. But like, it's got like a sunroom kind of feel, and you've changed some of the light fixtures, I think, too, haven't you, in there?
No, not in the kitchen. That was I love the person that I bought the house from. I'm still friends with her to this day, and I go to her house, and she is so great at decorating. She's like, I don't know. It's almost like walking into Hobby Lobby when you walk into her house, how everything like it smells nice and it's feminine and it's beautiful. Everything's just beautiful. I don't know how she does it, but she does a great job. So you're talking about the formal dining room. I love what Laisha said about the functionality of a room. What is the purpose of this room? Because the truth is, when you have an eat-in kitchen or, you know, a space to eat, and busy families don't normally use a formal dining room. So we have a formal dining room that we never, ever use. And I thought, why do I keep a big table in this formal dining room? And that my house was built in the 90s. So it has a little knockout, I guess, or like a, I don't even know what you call, like an inset for a china cabinet.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm a Gen Xer. We don't have china cabinets. That's not what we do.
true.
So instead of having just a space for a china cabinet, you know, where the walls kind of are recessed for that china cabinet, I just found some cheap marble tile at Menards and built a tabletop out of cheap marble tile and a piece of plywood. And I built like an internet bar there. I turned that recessed space into internet bar, and then just got a couple of stools, and that's where we put our computers. So formal dining room that never gets used, I took the dining room table and took all the leaves out of it. Now it's just a square little table that sits in the corner, and that's where my sewing table is. And then that space is used for the computers, because we absolutely use computers. There are a lot of us and a lot of electronics. So to me, it made more sense to turn the formal dining room into an internet space than to have it in a formal dining room. So
yeah. But it's cute.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. I mean, it is like you made it look pretty, you know, like the bar stools are really cute, and then it's all white, and, you know, and then I think, aren't the walls like a light sagey green kind of color?
I call it moody blue. They're kind of a muted blue. And then that, and it's got, it has chair rail and paneling underneath. So that it's got white paneling, like chair rail and white paneling on the bottom half, and then that moody blue on the top half. So
I love that. That's so awesome. So yeah. So I don't know if I'm like that cool, like to go into a room and like think through it that hard. The kids' rooms have always been easier because they're usually somewhat themed, you know. So, and I will say that I've had a couple of really good successes with the girls. We did my oldest daughter. She wanted a certain kind of room, and we kind of half did that. But one, I knew she was going to be gone for like a week at camp. I think she was at camp. And so I had kind of surreptitiously gotten her to send me like pictures of rooms that she liked. And so while she was gone, my younger daughter, Genevieve, and I redecorated her room. And she loved it. It was so great. And so we did it again for Genevieve at one point when she was gone to camp. And she loved it, and that worked out really fun. If you give me pictures of what you like if I was like an interior decorator and I had pictures of something that you liked, like I could do it, you know.
Yeah,
I could figure out, you know, what it would need to look like based on the space, and you know what was available at the, you know, Home Depot or at the, you know, local you know, knickknack store or whatever, and buy stuff for it, you know, like I can do that. But I definitely am not like originally creative.
I remember a time that you redid your living room though, Elaine. So I disagree with you on that. You actually had a feeling like you were like, I want like an island's bright color in my living room. And so You had a vision of that. And I remember I helped paint it. So, and I think you did a bright color stripe on the wall. Was it?
Maybe. I've done a few different things. It's bright green right now, or like a dark, I guess it's a kind of a dark green actually.
Okay. So yeah, I remember. So this was right when you were still in this, in the throes of homeschooling. I don't even think any of your kids were in high school yet. Maybe your oldest was.
Yeah.
But yeah, you decorated your homeschooling center like a bright color with a stripe on the wall because it's where you displayed some of their work or something. And then it segued really nicely into the living room. So you were really good because when you invited me over, you were like, I just need to know if this idea would work. So anyways, you had the color.
I need you to hold my hand, Lacia, and tell me it'll be okay.
Yeah. And you're like, and I'm like, well, yeah, let's just go for it. If we don't like it, we'll change it. But I think what happened was you started with the color and then you end up not liking it because it wasn't the vibe that you were going for. You wanted a more beachy feel and it ended up coming out like more of a country look. So you changed the color and it totally changed the look of the room. So you may not call it remodeling or decorating, but you've tackled a lot of projects in that house.
Yeah. I would have to agree with you, Lacia, because I feel like Elaine's got great creativity and you're really, really good at decorating. And I love coming to your house. And what I love about you, Elaine, is you're never done.
It's always a busy bee scenario.
It is. And you're 2 years later, that room gets repainted. And a year later, that room gets repainted. I love it. Because it's I'm a one and done. That room is done until I move.
That's so funny. Yeah, I'm a little bit more like Elaine. Though.
You guys have all moved. I've never moved.
Well, I think that's the fun part. The paint is so cheap considering, right? For $50, you can totally change the look of a room by changing the color and you're not afraid to change the color of things and totally change things out. So, I mean, it's relatively cheap to change the look of a room for what you want it to, for the purpose it serves. And I think now that most of your kids aren't homeschooling, you don't have six of them in the house anymore. The purpose has changed in your house. So I'm not surprised that you changed the color, Elaine.
Yeah. So circling back to decluttering, did you guys ever read that? I talk about this a little bit in my book, Mom of Six Dies Laughing, about the Japanese decluttering book that was popular there for a little while. I can't remember it.
Yep.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Blissfully unaware here. Blissfully.
Well, I read it and I laughed my head off the entire time because she talked about things like every night she would come home and take everything out of her purse and let her purse rest. Or how, you don't put things in your house according to where people, move or where they might put their dirty clothes or anything, you put it where it fits with the house, then you train them to put it in their proper, place.
It sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
And she would talk about thanking her stuff, thanking it for being there for her, providing for her, such a great experience. And I thought, man, she definitely does not have kids.
No, oh. That is a woman who needs some purpose.
And maybe a psychologist.
No, I never got into any of that. And I was happy to throw my crap out for someone else to enjoy because I'm a firm believer in my trash is someone else's treasure. So,
yes.
I know. And I often think that myself. You know what? If this is not benefiting me, then it's there to benefit someone else. Someone else is going to enjoy this so much more than I am right now. Oh, I saw this quote too. I've tried that Japanese decluttering trend where you hold each thing you own and throw away anything that doesn't bring you joy. So far, I've thrown away all the vegetables and the electric bill.
Well, I started when, I don't know if you guys I've given it a lot of thought, so I'm glad you brought this up, Elaine. When I realized that, like consumerism and how much it really dictates like our life, and how I started to fit into all of the shopping seasons that are out there. So like the spring cleaning shopping season, they normally have huge sales or big, they go through this huge, like, everything is on sale, or let's organize your home spring cleaning. And so then all the bins and storage things are on sale again. And I started noticing the people who keep buying the stuff to organize their stuff are people who should probably throw away their stuff. Right. So when I realized that we were buying stuff for our stuff, or more stuff to organize our stuff. And then one time I actually caught myself buying bins to store my bins. And I said, I've become crazy. So I started to just redo everything and like throwing crap out. No, we're not going to organize our junk that we need to keep in a tub and store in our basement. No, we're not going to do that. Like maybe my Christmas decorations that I actually use every year, but we're going to just start like throwing stuff out. Like if it's not physically out of our house, it should not be here. Like there are things that we haven't used in our house for like years. And I only know this because I've had to move it twice now.
Yeah.
And
otherwise you don't really notice, do you? Cause it just like,
no, you don't notice. It becomes, it holds down a shelf and you're like, why did I just buy this brand new shelf to hold more stuff that I don't use? And I'm like, I just started realizing this because when my grandparents passed, someone had to go through their stuff. And most of the stuff was not worth keeping. And I realized we just have generations of people who are so used to buying stuff that we don't even realize why we're buying stuff anymore. And it's like a real sickness. So I'm like, I can't be that consumer anymore that just buys stuff because it's on sale, or I buy stuff because I need it because someone told me I needed it. Like, I don't need any of it. I just need to get rid of it. So I've just been like gutting things out unless it has. So that's one thing I've learned from that lady's show and book is if it doesn't add value or it doesn't have a purpose, I don't want it. Someone else needs it.
That is good.
Laisha, I would love to piggyback on that. I actually listened to a sermon one time. I don't even remember who it was, but I could probably guess. But he said, we're all stewards of everything on earth. And if you have things in your attic or in your storage spaces and you look and you say, hey, I haven't used this in a year and I can't foresee using it again in the next year, storing it, you're being a bad steward of that. You're mistreating that thing when you can donate it to somebody who will use it this year. So I just thought that was a really interesting a take on stewardship and our things. Wow, I'm mistreating my thing if I'm storing it for too long. I just love the concept of that. Like, I want to be a good steward of everything that I own. And so if storing it is being a bad steward and getting rid of it or giving it a new home would be being a good steward, I'm in, you know?
Well, I ran into my neighbor the other day and I was looking at a sprayer for like our yard, and he and I, we both share about the same size yards. And so we were talking about the stuff we need and I said, oh, I have a sprayer. And he's like, oh, I have this. And then we both looked at each other and they're like, well, why don't we just share and swap? Why would we both have to go buy the same stuff in order to use it and then only use it part of the time when we could get part, you know, twice the use out of it by sharing our stuff? And I just realized like our culture has lost that community where you share your stuff. So everyone has their own stuff all the time when it's like, you don't actually need it all. You know, if you live communally or you were actually buying stuff to meet a need, it would be totally different than I just need it because I need it. So I was actually really thankful that I ran into him because I realized like, well, that's how you get to know your neighbor when you need their stuff.
That is so true.
You know, we used to borrow eggs and now we can't even go borrow an egg anymore or a cup of sugar.
That is true. And also you mentioned like, going through someone's stuff that passed away, because we've inherited things from people, from our family that has passed in the last few years. And it's like crazy when you look at like what older people have accumulated. It's not bad. Like, I'm not saying anything bad about that, because I think it's just totally normal, because, you know, over time you just accumulate things. But like, you don't realize, like, when you're younger and you have little kids and stuff, and you like, you don't have things, right, that you maybe wish you had, and then you don't realize, like, there are so many people in this world that have like the stuff just like sitting in their garage, like doing nothing, mm-hmm. you know, like you're kind of saying about community, like they would probably like be happy to give it to you, but you just don't even know about it. So you don't think about it that way. And then you have to, of course, get rid of it, you know, when they pass, and that's like a whole nother thing, you know, just like sorting through it. And oh man, the stories, I could tell you stories, but
that'll be our next podcast.
Yeah, I did actually, I will say on that, along those lines, I just got rid of like 7 boxes of lures that like full size. And I'm not talking like the little kids, like lure box that you take to the pond, like full size, man size lure boxes full of lures, and plus all the paraphernalia that went with it. Because, you know, we inherited it. And at first you're like, well, we can't get rid of this because it was, you know, somebody we care about. And then after, you know, 7 years, you're like, no one is fishing in this family. It's time. Yep. I even tried to give it away. I was like, I asked like all the young people I knew that might be interested in fishing, and they were even like, no, you know, I have enough. And I'm just like,
no, you okay, don't. You don't
have going to the thrift store.
Yeah, that was definitely someone else's treasure, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so we are all about the dumping phase. She told that I never forgot was, there was a lady, so she's like an organizer, and there was a lady she was helping, and this lady loved to bake. And so on the weekends, a lot of times she would just like spend the whole day just baking tons of different things. And so she had a lot of, you know, equipment for her kitchen, and like a lot of measuring spoons and a lot of measuring cups and a lot of bowls, and, you know, because she loved to bake, and she would bake and bake and bake all day. So it kind of made sense that she had all these things. But, you know, then she would get to the end of the day and then she would have to clean it all. Well, the organizer told her, look, just put everything away and just keep like one or two of everything, put everything else in a box and just see how you do. And so she did, and she ended up baking all day. And this time she didn't end up with anything left to clean at the end, because she had to clean it as she went, because she had to reuse it. And it was like so much better, because by the end she, you know, everything was clean. Ugh. And yeah. And so she just realized like she just did not need that much stuff in order to accomplish, you know, her goal. And I thought that was really cool. And when the kids were younger, it made me actually go through and start, you know, getting rid of stuff. But yeah, I thought that that was a great idea. And so ever since then, I've just kind of always adopted that. I mean, it's kind of amazing. I mean, having a family of 6, I've only ever had 3 pots. In fact, now my husband, kids are... he's decided that he's making this meal for himself now. We call it Ron's survival slop. And he decided that he would just make this huge pot of it, and then he just eats it all week so that he doesn't have to depend on me to cook him food, which is very hit or miss. So he actually just bought like a huge pot. I've never had one before. And all this
time. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Elaine, maybe that's why you never cooked him dinner consistently, is you never had a pot.
Never had a pot big enough.
Do you guys have anybody in your life who is the kitchen gadget person who swears that you need to have the latest and greatest thing? Isn't it funny? Like, how do you live without a rice maker? You have to have a rice maker. Well, that's interesting because a saucepan will make rice. How do you live without an air fryer? Like, I do. I just live without an air fryer. How do you live without a bread machine? Like, I don't make that much bread, but I do. I use the oven. Like, it's so funny. The person that says, how do you live without fill in the blank? And you just say, the way they did for hundreds and thousands of years without that.
I've had to cut my husband off from buying anything gadget or as seen on TV stuff because most of that stuff was like, I would have to sneak it out of the house to donate it or it's hidden in a cupboard that he doesn't even know exists. He had to get a rotisserie machine because he asked for one for years. So I finally bought him one. It takes so long to clean this machine that he stopped using it. So now it's underneath a cabinet somewhere. So I told him, and the other day he asked for a smoker or a griddle. I can't remember what. And I said, well, you're not allowed to get any more stuff unless you give away two more gadgets. So then he always says, well, I guess I can't get any more things. Can't get any more appliances because I gotta get rid of two. I'm like, well, you don't even use them. That's ridiculous.
That's hilarious. So, yeah. Oh my gosh. I know, when you can get a rotisserie chicken already made for you at Costco for $4.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, Elaine.
That is so true. I think about that. Like, I am not buying that because I have to clean it.
Oh, 100%. Yep.
Yep.
Like, okay. That is part of the prerequisite of the purchase. Like, what will be the aftermath?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, we found it. Well, that's what I told him. I said, if you use this machine, you're cleaning it. And so I saw him scrubbing it for like an hour one time, and I was like, this thing won't last. This thing will not last.
Oh, my God, it's too funny.
But I do know that the benefit of having so many children is they get to have all my stuff. So as they're moving out, I am going to basically hand them a bunch of pots or like my mismatched Tupperware that they've lost the lids for. And that's going with them to their new apartment. So the good news is all my old stuff will go out of the house. I'll get a new matching set and everyone will be happy.
Oh, nice. That's perfect. Yeah,
that's how I'm going to declutter.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing all your amazing stories and ideas. And I know that it's going to be super helpful to someone. And if you haven't gotten my book, there are several chapters on decluttering and organizing, along with all kinds of other amazing stuff for moms. It's called Mom of Six Dies Laughing, and it is humorous. So if you've enjoyed this podcast, I know you will enjoy the book. So you can get that at imaginemom.com/book, or you can get it on Amazon. It's called Mom of Six Dies Laughing. So thank you guys so much for being on today, and we wish everyone the best week.
Thanks, Elaine.
Bye.
Bye.
Oops. Or maybe not. Let me turn this off.
You just edit out the end part, right?
Yeah. Or you guys will all listen to this and think, wow, those are real people.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you follow and subscribe. And if you loved this episode and you think that there's someone out there who would really benefit from it, make sure you share it. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week.